Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Willow, Alaska, and on the line is Hugh Neff calling in from the road in New Jersey. Hugh, how's it going?
Swinging on by Trenton, New Jersey, Robert, heading for the Pennsylvania line, and then we're going to be doing a talk this afternoon at 5:30 and outside of Baltimore in College Park, Maryland, with a person that I actually met giving dog sled rides to, about 12 years ago. I worked up on a glacier, and I gave Sue Hawley and her husband John a dog rides on the glacier, and actually spent the night on the glacier. So it's going to be fun to reunite and see those guys again. It's been a while.
So as everybody knows, you're out on your annual spring school tour. You started over in Chicago, headed over to New York, and now you're making your way south. How's it going, and where have you visited so far?
It was going really good until I got lost a couple times with all the different, crazy turnpikes and everything around here, but I figured my way. I just kept on heading east and south and avoided the big city. So the city was looking beautiful about an hour ago. But now we're back in the fields here. It's been great. Been did a talk in Wisconsin, a couple in Chicago. Then I did a whole bunch in the New York area. And now we're heading for my ancestral, what I like to say, where I was born, Chattanooga, Tennessee. So whenever I head south, this is even though I grew up in Chicago, I like saying that I have that southern charm from Tennessee. So I always enjoy heading south.
So how's the weather?
It's been real busy, the kids really love it. So they, I'm really feeding off their energy, and we're all just feeding off of Walter's energy. Everybody loves Walter, of course.
Of course. How is the weather out that way?
It's pretty cold today. It's about 69 degrees. Right now is what it says on the car here. We are up into the 90s a couple of days ago when I was driving through Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness. That is too hot for an Alaskan. How is Walter doing? How does he like these trips? Is he riding in the car with you?
Oh, yeah. He's right next to me, wondering who the heck I'm talking to right now. You're doing great, though. Robert, you train dogs for a living. So you know that dogs are far more intelligent than humans give them credit for. And they know when they're even being talked about. And Walter knows that he's the man. I've been doing these shows, and it's pretty comical because after a while, he'll just come out of nowhere and, like, jump up in my arms and look at the audience and say, why aren't you talking about me more? And they really feed off of having him at the shows. I don't know if I'll take him again next year because he is getting up there in age. He's going to be 11 here in a couple of months. And he's had a lot of travel this year going to Europe and, all the mushing as well, so I'm really enjoying the moment with them, and it's just great to be able to do what you do, but share what you do with others, too. I think that's what I really enjoy the most, I'd say.
Of course. So have you visited any place where you haven't been before yet on this trip?
Of course, yeah. I was up in Wisconsin, up by Madison, and I had never been to where I talked in Jefferson before, but I had met one of the teachers before. She used to be my teacher at St. A's back in the – a long time ago, put it that way. But back in the 70s and 80s, Mrs. Shells, and she's still teaching. And that was pretty neat to go up there and hang out. And I enjoy doing talks everywhere. There's just something neat about pulling into a small country town and having the level of enthusiasm that folks come out and enjoy seeing Walter and learning all about Alaska and the dog.
Right. So you're heading. You said you're heading south, hitting up the Baltimore area this evening, and then down towards Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina, and whatnot over the next couple of weeks. What is the plan for the rest of the tour? Where are you heading, and are you going any place there that you haven't been before?
The Iditarod and Quest, grapevine. You meet people from all over the place. So actually good buddies with a fellow now that played for the Redskins, Ken Huff. We've talked about him before. He's actually been on the show before. He was one of the Hogs back in the days with Riggins and Theismann when they won the Super Bowl. Anyhow, we're meeting up with another buddy of mine who's the lead singer of a rock band in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we're going to be doing a show there on Saturday night at Froggy's Cantina on the beach there. And then I'll be having a get-together in the Chapel Hill area where my buddy Ken lives, I believe on Monday night. Then I'll go from there. I have talks in the Charlotte area in the middle of the week, and then Asheville the end of the week, Abingdon, Virginia over the weekend, and then we head back up north to do a few final shows in the Chicagoland area. So we're about halfway through the tour. You know, I've been doing this now for about 10 years, and always enjoyable. But I tell you what, after the end of this tour, I am more exhausted than any 1,000-mile race that I might do throughout the season. It's just a lot of travel, and it gives me an appreciation for the States, America, you know, the beauty of what America is all about. But it also makes me realize how much I miss Alaska and how little traffic we have in Alaska. In some of these cities, you know, I told the kids yesterday, I saw more traffic yesterday than I'll see the rest of the year in Alaska. It was just in every direction you could see cars.
That's exactly right. You know, like a rock star, they travel in fancy buses. What are you driving around in on this couple thousand-mile journey?
I got like some type of, I don't know, small little dinky Saturn or something. You know me, Robert, I'm cheap. I've got $40 to care for. So
of
I'm not
course.
Worried about image or how fancy my clothes are, any of that. I got to worry about the dogs. And I'm enjoying the tour, but I'm also trying to raise funds to help take care of the kennel. I mean, that's always number one in a musher's mind.
Do you have any idea how far you're going to be traveling in terms of miles over this 3 or 4 weeks?
Oh, man, I have no idea. Probably 4,000 or 5,000, I guess. I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth, but quite a lot. I'm pretty much putting on 3 to 5 or 6 hours of driving nearly every day.
Oh, my goodness.
With a few days off here and there. You know me. I'm the Gypsy Musher. This is what I love doing. I've been given the gift of gab, and I use it to try to motivate the kids to get out there and achieve their dreams. That's what really I'm all about. I enjoy talking about the Iditarod and the quest and dogs and everything, but when it comes down to it, I'm really trying to get us to give these kids a sense of what life is about and hopefully encourage them to get out there and take risks and see what they're all about as well.
Have you had a chance to talk to a group of kids yet that don't know anything about mushing? I know that that's kind of rare these days, but it's also kind of a reality, especially in the big cities.
It was pretty neat. In Buffalo, I did a talk. Tim Stalker, my buddy, set up a talk at a local parochial school in Orchard Park, you know, where the Bills play. And the kids didn't, you know, Tim basically took care of setting it up for them, and they didn't really study it in class or anything. So it was a bit of a surprise to them. But there's always a few kids that know about it. Just to, you know, not necessarily the internet, like a lot of mushaholics are following dog mushing, but mostly through reality TV shows.
Right.
I've had kids come up to me all the time and go like, oh, you lived in Canada, you know Stan Zare, and it's pretty funny because I brought up to the kids the other day in the school about reality TV shows, and we all pretty much agreed that they're fun to watch, but you got to take them lightheartedly. Because a lot of what you're seeing out there isn't really day-to-day living in Alaska. It's just how Hollywood's trying to portray it.
Right, exactly. So what's happening after you get back to Alaska? I know you'll be back towards the end of the month, and then we're heading into our summer season. What's the plan for you here the rest of the summer?
I'll be doing what I was doing last year. I'll be giving daily tours at the kennel. People are passing through town. They're always welcome to come out and visit and watch me, you know, exercise the dogs, feed them, play with them, and they can love up the puppies as well. And then I do nightly shows over at the Golden Bear Hotel in Hoke, and of course Walter will be there too. And I enjoy doing that because I never know who I'm going to be talking to every day. So a lot of fun. It can be tiring at times, but when you have a passion for what you do, you want to just keep the ball rolling.
Right. And the tourist season is getting into high gear here, and for folks that are traveling to Alaska, and you're going to either come in through the cruise ships or probably right through Tok there if you're driving up through Canada, and that's a stop right off the main road, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the first major town you're going to pull through. And when I say major, it's only a couple thousand people. But I always remind people we probably have more dogs in Tok than people as well. So reason I moved to Tok, obviously, is I love the quiet, and it's a nice strategic town as far as traveling to cities. But I always tell any tourist, if they're coming to Alaska and you want to see the coolest city, you don't go to Anchorage, you don't go to Fairbanks, you go to Dawson City. So that's why I love Tok in the summers, because I can be to Dawson in just a few hours and be up on the Yukon River. You know, as much as it's a little bit difficult summers, because all we really want to do most of the time is run our dogs. But summers can be enjoyable as well in Alaska, but they also can be quite dangerous. And that's why I tend to not be as in a hurry getting out and about in the bush in Alaska in the summertime. I'll get out and do a few trips each year, but you have enough to do as far as taking the dogs every day. You really can't go too far away from home.
Right. So how are the dogs doing? I'm sure they're being taken care of while you're gone by a handler or two, but tell us a story or two about some of the dogs now that the season's over.
Well, my buddy Rob is taking care of the dogs now. I met Rob during the 440 out in Topsview. He was handling for John Baker all winter, and so he's volunteered to watch the yard while he didn't volunteer, I'm paying him for it, but he's helping out with the yard while I'm gone. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, and he's looking forward to getting back up to Costco and going to work. Cohiba and Rosalita, the two sisters, two of my main leaders, the other girl in that family, Havana, they have had puppies in the last couple of weeks. So I think we've got 14 new pups on the ground. And I tend to use or keep about maybe two-thirds of the pups, and then I'll find homes for the other pups, which I'm always getting demand for. But it's tough being away from George, you know, and Jewel, and just all these dogs that I spent all this time with all winter. But realistically, it's a catch-22, because I'm sure those dogs could use a break from me every once in a while, too. I think a lot of mushers don't realize that the dogs, they're fine on their own as long as you have somebody loving them up and taking care of them. And then when I get back home and they see me again, I think our bond is even greater, because obviously they miss me and all that. And I'll be spending a lot of quality time with them at Tok once I get back.
Right. So you'd mentioned that you have two litters of pups on the ground, and those guys are from potential leaders. Can you tell our listeners how you go about picking pups, and at what age do you pick them to be either to stay with you or to move on to another home? What age do you start thinking about that?
I'd say any age, really. I mean, it depends on if you'd already made a deal with another person. But as far as, training them up and then seeing if I wanted to find a home for them, usually within a couple runs, you can tell if the dog, has that special magic. But then you're going to obviously keep them for at least a couple of years just to see how they're doing and developing as a team the whole litter. I really don't necessarily care about winning races anymore. That's why my dogs might be a little bit furrier than other mushers and might not be as fast or a higher stock of breed. But for me anymore, it's not really about the racing. I see mushers here and there that are always trying to put championship teams together, and they're leasing dogs and borrowing dogs from other mushers, and that's really not what dog mushing is to me. It's to be about your day-to-day living and trying to be as good a dog man as you can, or woman. It's going to be about winning races so you can have a better image of yourself. The older I get, the more I realize it. Like what Bud Smith always would tell his boys, Raymond Sim, it's really about the journey. It's not about being in a hurry to jump back in a plane and fly back to anchor. It's about, being out there with the dogs and realizing how beautiful a team you have in front of you. So I'm always trying to match up dogs when I'm breeding. Cohiba is with Lester, of course, and those are going to be some really beautiful pups. it's a long-term view, you know. I really don't know what I'm going to have for a couple of years. But I've noticed with the other dogs that I've bred out of the Kotzebue lines that they might be a little bit slower, but, boy, they are sure tough dogs. That's one thing you notice whenever John Baker's team is running. He's not going to set any speed records, but he usually never slows down either.
Right. So, Hugh, I'm just going to ask you a couple more questions, and then we'll let you go because I do know you're on the road. I want to ask you a couple of questions about Walter. In particular, what do kids say to or about Walter at these trips? And I'm sure that for a lot of them, they have no idea what an Alaskan sled dog really is. Most of them think that they look like the typical Siberian Husky, like some of the dogs in my yard. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I have to explain to them about Siberians and about Hollywood and how Siberians are beautiful and strong, but they are a little bit slower, but their beauty is why you see a lot more of them on TV shows or in movies. I explained to them that, you know, the Huskies are basically a mutt, a mixture of sort of Husky or Hound. Walter basically wants to be, every person that meets Walter wants to take him. I don't know how many girlfriends Walter has, but it's in the hundreds. They love him. And he's a ham. He likes to rub his butt up against people's legs and make them pet him. He knows he's being adored. It's just amazing. Some of these kids are younger. They're, you know, first, second, third graders, and just the look of wonder in their eyes that they can tell they're looking at somebody special. Obviously, these T-shirts we made up this year that are flying off the shelf here, that people are enjoying, that talk about how Walter's done 13,000 milers and he's raced competitively more than any other dog really has. But I really come up with a T-shirt that says he's been loved by any other dogs because, you know, he's already up to 1,000 likes on his Facebook page. And wow. I think if I could have it my way, I'd just make Hugh Neff disappear and I'd just promote Walter from now on because any real musher wants to talk about their dog, not just about what they're all about.
Very cool. Hugh, anything else you want to mention before we go?
No, but if people are interested in traveling, they could send me a Facebook message or laughingoddkennel@hotmail.com. I will be in the South here and the East Coast for another week or so, and then I'll be back in Chicago for the last week of the month doing shows and get-togethers. And, of course, I can't wait to get back to Alaska. Wherever I go in the world, and, you know, I've been traveling a lot the last couple of years, once you get back to Alaska, you know you're where it's at. And that's the beauty of being an Alaskan.
Good stuff. Well, Hugh, stay safe out there. We'll see you when you get back, okay?
All right, Robert. Go Bulls.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon. Hugh Neff, the Gypsy Musher. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.